Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's a special Saturday edition of the Fade Route with D&Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight, or today, this morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
The Giants quarterback room is set. The Johnnies get bounced in the second round, and Stephen A. Smith and LeBron are taking it to another level. But we begin today's show with baseball. Baseball, baseball, America's favorite sport before Rob Manfred destroyed it. It was opening day 2 days ago, and there's a lot to be excited about. So, Z, what did you like about opening day? What did you hate about opening day? And what are you excited about for the 2025 season?
Well, the first things first, you know, I'm excited that baseball is back, baby. And it actually means something. It's back here, and it's played at a reasonable hour, not at 6 o'clock in the fucking morning on the East Coast, where I gotta, like, remember that it's on. And, you know, I have to set my DVR. No, I can just turn it on and there it is. Right there. Now, some results were expected, right? You have the Phillies came back. They beat the Nats. Come from behind victory. You like to see it. The Red Sox asserted themselves with authority, beating the Rangers 5-2. They're getting out hot. The surprising result for the positive. You know, we were concerned about the Orioles, right? Like, you lost some players. You lost Burns. You lost Santander. They put a beat down on the friggin' Blue Jays. 12-2.
Yeah.
They beat them down. Beat them down.
Bitches.
Where's my money? Where's Bitches. My money? Adley Rutschman? Okay. Two bombs on opening day. So, yeah. Okay. We're ready to roll. You know what? The Austin Wells experiment, it worked for one day.
Lead off. First time.
Yes.
First time in Major League Baseball history, a catcher has led off opening day with a home run. How about that?
That's surprising because I figured Jason Kendall would have done it.
Right?
Jason Kendall
Crazy.
Led off in years. So you figured he would have done it. Those are the good surprises, right? The A's blowing a good start from Luis Severino. That's not a really good surprise. And then the Braves bullpen kind of having a little bit of a meltdown on opening day. Not what you want.
Jeez.
Yeah. The Mets being they were just kind of there. You know, like Clay, we'll talk about Clay Holmes' performance because we're going to take it into the classroom. But like, it was just kind of there, man. Like, it wasn't atrocious, but it also wasn't like. Yeah, it wasn't great, but it was very much a C-plus game. So, and then they went and, you know, flipped the tables on the Astros last night. So, that's what it is. But here is where the shit gets most pathetic. This is a game that it's like, all right, we're already, like, we're really starting off with this. Angels White Sox, right? Oh, yeah. Put that inject that shit right into my fucking veins.
Give me that.
Give me that. Let's go. Not only did Vegas set the White Sox up for one of the record lows in terms of wins, like they're not saying that they're going to break their own record from last year, but they're not looking kindly on the White Sox. But it's to the point where the White Sox forced the Angels to put a position player on the mound on opening day.
Oh, jeez.
Nicky Lopez. Nicky Lopez had an inning against... He had a third of an inning because Kikuchi was fine. 3 runs, 5 hits, 6 innings. Like, you know, that passes for a quality start in 2025 Major League Baseball. But you ran... You know, Wash ran that shit up the flagpole opening day. You're down by 7 to the White Sox. It's not like you're... It's not like it's the Dodgers. It's the fucking White Sox. What are you saying about your team, Wash? Like, fuck, Nicky. Loose. It sounds like fucking Astro Little League.
Like, ooh, me?
Yeah, you. So get out there, take a couple to the mitt, and don't embarrass yourself. Well, I'll try, Skip. But all in all, like, it's game one of 162, and a lot of expected results, lots of works in progress, but I'm just glad it's back, man. And you know, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the grind of the season, and I'm looking forward to the cream rising to the top, because that's how it should be. You know, that's what should happen.
Yeah, I mean, so opening day was Thursday, but I'm going to just take into consideration yesterday, too. How about the Athletics? 7-0 against the Mariners yesterday. My man, holy shit. I think the Red Sox look good. Like, they look young. They look, like, inspired. I think this might be weird for you, but the Dodgers against the Tigers, man, the Tigers are feisty, man. The Tigers fighting. They fought for 2 days. They lost against the Dodgers, but they was fighting them. Like, it wasn't like they were just going to take this on the chin or take this. There was fight.
No, they took the champs to extra innings.
Yeah, they're fighting. So what did I like? I like seeing the fight from the Tigers. I really like what I'm seeing from the Red Sox so far. The Dodgers lineup is just stupid.
It's stupid.
It's like you get by Ohtani, you get by Betts, and then you got to deal with Teoscar Hernandez. It's like, come on, man. Like, it's like, fuck. Or like, you know, you get Freddie Freeman is the last guy you got to face in that order. And you're like, fuck, man. Like, I don't got anything left. Like, it's like, I think teams are going to have to, you know, when they're all healthy, I think you're just going to have to pick your poison. Like, if they're all scheduled to bat in an inning, you're like, all right, I'm going to try to get Ohtani out. I will walk Betts or pitch around Betts, and I'll pitch to Teoscar. Like, you can't go into an inning saying, I'm going to try to get all three of these guys out. It's just the odds are just not in your favor. You're better off picking who you want to try to get out, who you're going to pitch to, who you're going to pitch to contact to. We're going to strike out. Like, you got to really go against that lineup with a plan. And then Tommy Edmonds fucking hitting home runs. Like, are you kidding me, man? Like, imagine you get by, like, Ohtani and Teoscar, and then, all right, I got Tommy. All right, I'll get Tommy out. And Tommy hits a fucking bomb to left field. You're like, you got to be kidding me, man.
You're not getting Tommy.
Come on.
And that's your emergency shortstop in case Mookie Betts loses more weight. So that's some scary shit, too.
Well, he's also he's playing center field. Like, I mean, I've always liked Tommy Edman, but this is the guy in their lineup that you're like, all right, I'll pitch to Tommy Edman. Yeah, sure, this works.
You sure about that?
And it's like, fuck, man. Like, so.
And then you got Muncy. You didn't even mention Max Muncy. He wears you out, too.
Yeah, he does. He does. No, you're right. You're right. He seems to have a different approach than those guys, because he usually bats in the low to mid twos.
Yeah, I mean, he came up through the A system, so you know how that works.
Yeah. Yeah, and then as far as, you know, what I didn't like, I mean, I'm not a Met fan, but I don't really like the way Holmes looked. We'll get into that. But I also, Soto taking the last strike to end the first game of the season. I mean, he came back yesterday and hit a bomb, but, you know, it's like typical Met shit. I don't like the Braves starting out 0-2. Like, what the fuck, man? Especially when we bounce Michael King out after 2 1/3. And then we go on to lose that game. Again, our bullpen, the Braves bullpen shit. Chris Sale looks like the Chris Sale from about 3 or 4 years ago. That's a little scary. I know it's game one, but you got to pitch more than three innings, Chris. We need you to pitch more than three innings. We let Charlie Morton go for you. So come on, man. Come on. So I mean, that's where I am. But yeah, definitely happy to have baseball back. You know, looking forward to the grind. It's a long season.
Here's what I'm looking for.
It's nice to sit and just watch a game. There's no stress here. It's just like, whatever. Like, you know, we got 162 of these.
That's it. Strap in. Get yourself a nice cold beverage. Get yourself that new hot dog helmet at Citi Field. A dozen hot dogs and a helmet for 13 bucks. Like, shit, $1 a dog? Sign me the fuck up. And I get a free helmet? Get the fuck out of here. That's awesome. But here's what I'm looking forward to today. 105, Max Fried takes the bump for the Yankees. First time. And he's going up against Nestor Cortez. Yes, this is it, baby. Strap in. Let's fucking go. I want to see the train wreck. Let's go. It's going to be 21-20. Like, AMSU St. Raymond's. Let's go. Who's going to kick the extra point?
Let's go.
Let's go.
But, you know, we ordered up all the divisions the last several weeks. So who do you have in the championship games for the National League and the American League? And who do you have winning the World Series?
All right, so let's go through this, right? Like, I posted up on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. I did a little collage of our division winners. We do have a little bit of overlap there. We didn't talk about who our wild card teams are, so we need to flush out three additional wild card teams for each goddamn league. So that's thanks, Rob. All right, so now we got to think about that shit, but I mean, all you have to do is get hot, right? So in reality, like, it is very possible that a wild card team could end up in the
World Series.
In the World Series. It's 100%. Where in the past, you had, you know, you had the Marlins and you had teams that...
Gonna catch me a Marlin.
Yeah. They're gonna bubble up, right? Like, you figure, like, things will happen. But, I mean... It's hard to say. You got to figure, like, I took the Rangers to win the American League West. I still think.
Oh, okay. You know,
so I definitely think that any of the three below them, especially if the A's, like, have some semblance of fight, they can be some dark horse sleeper contenders to get into the playoffs. Not necessarily to get to the you know, pennant or the World Series, but, you know. Would I be surprised if a team like the Mariners makes the playoffs, even though they just released Mitch Haniger? Sure, why not?
What?
Yeah, they cut Mitch Haniger. So, they cut his ass, man. He was one of the last cuts out of open. They red-tagged his ass. He didn't even make it to Tacoma. So, there you go. The Astros, maybe. Like, I know I picked the Orioles to win the division. Maybe the Red Sox. Like, that, you know. So, if you're pushing me, I'll take Red Sox, Tigers. I'll take Mariners. Or Astros as my wild card teams, but still, the new playoff format, it favors the hot team coming in. So it could be a scenario where we end up with like a Red Sox Royals or a Red Sox Rangers or, you know, a Tigers Rangers, like a weird combination that you don't necessarily, you know, it's like, it doesn't sound sexy, right? It doesn't sound sexy, but that's going to be some damn good baseball. That could be some damn good baseball. Would it surprise me if the Red Sox got there? No. The Orioles, right. I don't want to say I'm not concerned about, because they have a ceiling and now they lost Corbin Burnes, so they have even more of a ceiling. But if you're asking me for the American League Championship Series, way too early preview. You know what? I think I'm gonna go Tigers Rangers right now. I think Tigers Rangers is gonna be the way to go in the American League. National League, we got three teams coming out of the National League East. Take your pick. Like, we both have the Phillies in first, right? So coin flip. Mets in second or Braves in third or Braves in second. Doesn't matter. Both of them are making the playoffs. So there you go. So that leaves you
love the optimism.
That leaves you one team. That leaves you one team, and that team is the San Diego Padres. There you go. Like, the National League is so much easier. The National League is so much easier because there are levels to this. Like, the National League is very top heavy. Could we see Dodgers-Mets again? Sure, why not? Could we see Dodgers-Braves? Sure, why not? Could we see Dodgers-Phillies? You're hoping so, I know. Sure, why not? Could we see... I mean, it's Dodgers against anybody fucking else, right? I know you picked the Reds in the Central. I picked the Cubs. I don't really see Dodgers-Cubs. And I don't want to see Dodgers-Cubs after the fucking shitstorm that was Tokyo. That was a, you know... The Cubs are still reeling from that. They're 1-3. statistically, they're the worst team in baseball, not named the Colorado Rockies. So there you go. So if you're going to twist my arm, you figure on paper, because this is what it is, it's our way too early preview, Phillies Dodgers. It's got to be, right? Right? The two best offenses. You have one of the best pitching staffs. You have some of the best starters. But that bullpen is going to kill the Phillies, man. That bullpen, yeah. It's not great. It's not great. And their sloppy seconds went to the Braves. Hector Neris looks awful. And then, you know, like, their sloppy seconds spilled over to the Mets because AJ Minter is on the Mets. So, like, they're cannibalizing themselves. So we're living in a world right now that – we're
seeing, AJ, which team do you play for?
I'm a Peach.
Okay. Because I couldn't figure out why. You would throw home. We have a 2-run lead. You let a tie run get on second. And we lost the lead because of you.
And you start using your head.
That love 3 feet above your ass. No, it's AJ Minter, man. It's just like, which team do you pay for? Just check it.
100%. So I think that this weekend in LA is actually a World Series preview. I think we're seeing Dodgers-Tigers, and unless the Tigers get another frontline pitcher and, you know, Parker Meadows comes back healthy and Torkelson gets his head out of his ass.
Your boy Torkelson's hitting good right now.
We'll keep it up, right? Because you expect regression to the mean where he barely looked like a major league player. So,
he's a big boy.
Big boy. So he could end up being like a... He could also end up being in a situation where it's a change of scenery if he's hitting like 130 by May. It's like, we got to get him the fuck out of here. Like, this, we can't do this anymore. So...
Glaber's looking good too.
Hey, it's early, right? Glaber, Javi Baez is still healthy. So give it time. They still need a front-of-the-line pitcher. So, yeah, I think... In my way too early twist my arm preview, give me the Dodgers and the Tigers, and the Dodgers, unfortunately, repeat.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty close to you on this. I also see the Dodgers.
They're too big to fail. It's too big to fail.
They're just too good. I mean, and I agree. I think they'll play a team from the National League East. I'm going to say Braves just because I'm going to be a homer on this because the Braves had such a down year last year that I expect them to come back strong this year. But yes, I think the Phillies, because of how much they score, are a problem for teams. So I can very easily see the Phillies being there, especially with their 1-2 punch of Wheeler and Nola, as long as those two guys are healthy. And if Suarez can come back and be decent, they're going to be okay. And yeah, I agree. It all comes down to their bullpen. For the Braves, they've got to try to emulate what the Phillies do. And Riley and Olsen and Harris and the shadow of Acuna have to be on. They've got to put up runs.
For me, I'm gonna just interject real quick. But for me, and see what you think about this. I think Albies at this point matters more than Acuna.
In what way? Like, his fielding is hitting what?
So I think as more of an all-around player, you can count on Albies more than you can count on Ronald Acuna.
I love your faith in these guys. That's okay. I think that's not a bad intuition to have.
Because how many games is Ronald Acuna going to miss this year? That's a good over-under right there.
They won the World Series without him, but just imagine if, you know, the number one prospect in baseball or one of the best, you know, players in the game plays at the level that he needs to play at. That, I think, is better than anything Albies can do. So I agree with you that Albies is a key factor, but Ronald Acuna at his best makes us the best, makes the Braves the best.
But with his injuries, can you expect to see that? That's the question.
You know, people come back from that injury a lot faster than they used to. And he's already had to do it one time before.
Right.
And that season that he did come back, I drafted him in the first round of my fantasy draft, and it was a disaster because he was absolutely terrible. So I'm hoping that the second time around he's learned a few things and he's going to be a little better. So no, I think for the Braves to beat the Dodgers, they're going to need a better Acuña rather than a well-rounded and competent Albies. So Albies at his best with Acuña is not going to get past the Dodgers. It's just not going to happen. And then in the American League, I see it very similar. I have a lot of belief in the Tigers because they have grit. They have fight. They have a really good coach. I love Carpenter. I think Torkelson's ready for a big year. I think Torres could be what you're saying Albies could be. The pitching's there. Skubal is the reigning Cy Young winner. They have won two punches there. I like their chances. The only other team that I see them facing in the championship series, again, I think it'll be a team from the American League East, and I'm leaning towards the Red Sox. I think they'll play a team like the Red Sox, much like the wild card effect. The Red Sox get in there, and just because they're young, Bregman's a stud, Devers is bought into the DH role. I think Hawk is a good pitcher. Like I do think, you know, they have the talent to compete for 162 games and go beyond once the World Series happens.
And they will get they will get Liam Hendricks back because he's on the disabled list.
Yeah,
right? I saw
that. I drafted him too.
Oh Jesus!
But you know, would I be surprised if an Orioles or even a Yankee team was to come alive and come in there? Not really. I'd probably be more surprised at this Yankee team because they're going to need Stanton if they're going to compete, and they're going to need a hell of a year from Bellinger. I don't think Aaron Judge could do this all by himself.
No.
But again, like we talked about, it's all about getting hot late.
Yeah.
It's the late August, September that really matters. So, you know, if Stanton doesn't come back until August, that's not bad. If the Orioles are able to make a trade at the deadline to add pitching, that could be the difference. And then the Red Sox, if they could maybe add another hitter, I don't know how J.D. Martinez doesn't have a job. I don't really understand
that. I'm glad you mentioned J.D. Martinez because he's the guy, right? I know the Yankees were kicking the tires on him earlier, but you can't count on Giancarlo Stanton this year. Like, I'm sorry. The dude has double tennis elbow, and he was dealing with, what was it, a calf?
Like, yeah, it's a calf now.
Yeah. So, like, no, dude. No.
How the fuck did you hurt your calf when you're supposed to be rehabbing your fucking elbows?
Right. So, I get he's made of...
God damn it.
I get it. The man is made of marble. He is an amazing physical specimen. The body issue was made for him. But the dude can't stay healthy. Like, yes, when Giancarlo Stanton is healthy, that is who you get, right? The guy who physically said, Aaron, get on my fucking back. Let's go. Like, Giancarlo Stanton made it go last year, not Aaron Judge. Giancarlo Stanton made that team go.
Well, Giancarlo Stanton is a playoff monster.
Yes.
And he's a postseason
And that
monster.
Is why, that's why, like, he's down now. You're on the phone, if you're Brian Cashman, you're on the phone with J.D. Martinez. We're signing you. Take all the time you need. Get ready because you're going to be our fucking DH.
He's just a professional hitter.
Dude can rake.
He takes it seriously, and he's in the cage before his at bat. He gets up to the plate, and whatever happens, he comes back in the dugout. He's looking at the video. He's seeing how they were pitching him. And then he goes right back into the cage. Dude's just a professional hitter.
I'm disappointed that the Mets didn't re-up him for that very reason. He brings that level of professionalism. But it looks like it's been rubbing off on them because in the dugout, they were communicating as to what Hunter Brown had yesterday. They were taking a more professional approach to things. And
I like Hunter Brown.
Hunter Brown's solid. And they touched him up pretty good.
Sub-4 ERA, he's good.
Yeah, well, he learned that sinker. So, funny story, I was listening to the radio yesterday, and Alex Bregman actually suggested he learn that pitch. He's like, dude, like, I don't fear you when I'm in the batter's box. I'm a righty. I should be fearing for my life.
I don't fucking fear you, dude.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You ain't
How'd
shit.
How'd that conversation go?
You ain't shit, Road.
I eat shits like you for breakfast. You eat shit for breakfast?
Shoot up, baby.
But, and then ultimately, my World Series, I have the Dodgers. I have the Dodgers. They're going to beat either the Red Sox or the Tigers. I unless they're just hit with a wave of injuries, mainly to their starting pitching, I just don't see how a team can beat them in a 7-game series. The bats would have to go cold. 4 of their pitchers would have to die. I don't see it. I mean, I don't know if you watched any of their games, but I watched both of their games, and it's just stupid. It's stupid, the plethora of pitching they have. I mean, they're bringing in Scott just to get a couple of outs. I mean,
it's ridiculous.
It's stupid. And then you like the lineup. I mean, it's like you've Ohtani, Betts, Hernandez, Muncy, Freeman, and now Tommy Edmonds hitting bombs. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, let's see the AL All-Stars face the Dodgers. And I'm pretty sure it would be a competent close game.
But you know what? We have to be concerned about injuries. That bunch,
injuries,
it's a year older. You know, like
Freeman was hurt last year.
Freddie Freeman.
Listen, Freeman was hurt last year. I know he hit the Grand Slam in the World Series, and he was the World Series MVP. We batted .282.
Yeah,
that's down for him. Yeah. All of his numbers were down. But if that's the thing that's gonna, you know, if that's what you're so worried about, because Ohtani gonna get his. He's going to get 50 to 60 bombs, 30 to 40 stolen bases, 110 RBI. And Mookie hit the home run last night to win the game for them.
Here's my thing. I think this is Freddie Freeman's last year with the Dodgers, because there's a Japanese first baseman who's going to post next year, and Japan is effectively the minor league for the Dodgers. They are building a pipeline directly from Japan to Los Angeles. So that
next year is Freddie's last year.
I think that last year
he signed a 4-year deal.
It's either he's gone or he's gonna retire. I mean, Freddie Freeman is
retire.
Like,
he could retire.
Like, he could go and like his legacy is set. Or they could trade him. Like, you have 3 options, right? Like, you have options. But if it's his last, I think it might be his last year in the scenario.
Next year.
Yeah. But yeah. I think he's done, because you have a stud Japanese first baseman who's under the age of 30, and that, you know, players want to come over and play for the Dodgers. That's how you keep this thing going. But I do have one interesting, way too early prediction as to players getting moved. I think, and hear me out on this, the reason why the Tigers make it to the World Series is because they get a little injection at the trade deadline with a reunion with Justin Verlander. I think the Giants bought him out. They trade him back to the Tigers, and Justin Verlander powers them to the World Series.
It's a nice little story you wrote.
Nice, right?
It's cute.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
How could you not get romantic about baseball?
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
But also, how could you not get romantic about the Giants quarterback room?
Speaking of Giants.
So in football, the Giants quarterback room is set. Russell Wilson is going to the Giants on a 1-year, $20 million deal. Jameis Winston will be backing him up, and Tommy DeVito will play most of the season.
He's there.
Well, Jameis also is on record saying he's coming in thinking he's the starter. Love it. So having said all that, do the Giants still draft a quarterback?
All right, so let's go over this real quick, right? So you bring in Russ on a 1-year deal, $21 million. You bring in Jameis on a 2-year deal. So $21 million with incentives for Russ. If you take away the incentives and just look at base salary, Wilson plus Winston, right, equals essentially Daniel Jones' salary from last year. So Daniel Jones is making 14. They're making 14 and a half combined. So I'll take that. That's fine. That ends up being a wash. I'm fine. I'm actually happy that there are two semi-competent quarterbacks in that room. And if they want to, you know, make it a competition, if they want to, you know, if they want to pull a Mike Tomlin and Daboll says, Russ is our guy from week one, like, whatever. But I'm just thankful that you have two competent guys in that room. Jameis, his talent is prodigious, right? We talk about his arm strength all the time. What we talk about as well is his accuracy and decision making, which is fine. You know, he is who he is. He is who he is. And Russ, what do we talk about with him? Does his personality fit in with the team? It did last year, right? He had another veteran quarterback. He had another capable quarterback in Justin Fields, and they made it work. So there's a steadying at the position. You know, we talked about it months ago. Like we're pining for the days of Kerry Collins as Giants fans. A veteran quarterback to steer the ship and not sink it. Just keep it afloat. Just actually give us a fucking chance to win. And we lucked into a Super Bowl that they promptly got their asses kicked by the Ravens. But having that veteran presence was super important. Will they make the playoffs? No. I'm on record. No, the Giants will not make the playoffs. Will they escape last place? Given what the Cowboys are going through right now, and there are rumors that they're trying to trade Dak, yeah, actually, I think that the Giants will be in third place next year. I think they will escape the cellar. Could they play upwards to a 7-9 record or something like that, or like somewhere close to 500? Possibly. If everything breaks right, you have a great season from Malik Nabers, you hit on every draft pick, you protect your quarterback, you've made some interesting free agent signings, you've beefed up the secondary. Anything is possible. Now, you asked specifically about the quarterback. This year, maybe you take a flyer on somebody in like a third or fourth round situation. Maybe like you trade up into a late two if there's a guy you really like and guys are just going off the board left and right, right? So if you really like Will Howard, you may need to go up and get him. You may need to go back or take him in the second round. If you really like Kyle McCord, maybe you need to move up to get him or get him in the second or third round. Like those guys project, right? You have big dudes who can deliver the ball. It's possible, but you have so many needs that I think it's unlikely, unless on your depth chart you really, 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 really like the kid. I think this year's about plugging holes. You figure out where you are, and then what do we keep saying? Next year's the quarterback draft. So this one's kind of a reset year. Build the rest of your team. And then if you really need a quarterback, then go from there. Because you still got Jameis next year for one more year. Russ is a one-year deal. If it doesn't work, vaya con Dios. Thank you for your service. And Tommy DeVito's Tommy DeVito. If Tommy DeVito has to play this year, then the season has gone off the fucking rails. And they got a shot at Arch Manning. So there you go. Right? So I think the plan is the draft plan, if I'm Shane and Daboll, knowing that this is my quarterback room, I'm beefing up the other positions. And then if a quarterback just happens to fall into my lap and he's still there and I really like him and I'm wondering why the fuck is he still here, then take him. What's the worst that could happen? At that point, you're putting that guy in and you're sending Tommy DeVito on his way, which I think Giant fans are tired of Tommy DeVito at this point. Tommy Cutlets can go someplace else. He can go make some cutlets at his restaurant, at a local restaurant. He can go slice some prosciutto Talericos. He can just go do something else. So
they draft they draft Shedeur Sanders and you're like,
hell
okay.
Fucking no. No. Oh, okay. No, do not okay. Take Shedeur Sanders at number three. You don't okay. Need a number three. You can take somebody in the third or fourth round. Sure. Go ahead. Your room is set right now. And if you stink this year, you're back in at the top of the draft next year and you get better quarterback options. So fill out your draft, fill out your roster this year, get better, get deeper, and then go from there.
So what does success look like for the Giants next year? How do Daboll and Shane keep their jobs?
See, that's the thing. Shane keeps his job if they are competent. If they get to that 7-9 kind of, if they get into that kind of mediocre range. Because he built that. You go from the 50 feet of crap to about 15 feet of crap, right? If you make incremental progress, you can prove that we're trending in the right direction with personnel. With Brian Daboll, what was the mission? To bring him in and develop a young quarterback into a Josh Allen type player. Well, that guy is gone. All right. The guy that you earmarked to be Josh Allen 2.0 is probably going to start for the Colts next year. So I think he's kind of dead man walking. Okay. I really think Daboll's, this is, unless he's got to be over 10 wins. Like he's got to be like, I know, but I'm saying like week 17 fighting for a playoff spot. Like that's
what if they go 5-12? I have them pegged for 5-12 the way the
adios muchacho
roster, everybody's gone.
Everybody's gone. if it's a colossal failure and they are one game better than they were last year, clean fucking house. Everybody.
I just, in my opinion, I don't understand the Russell Wilson part of it. I think I like Jameis, and I think it's Jameis, you're starting and just go out there and throw, dude.
Right.
Throw to our team, agreed. Throw to their team, just fucking let it rip. You have 35 touchdowns and 30 interceptions at the end of the season, that's fine. Whatever. Like, seriously, like, I don't understand what Russell Wilson's going to be doing. What is he there for? Is he there to win games? Is that why Russell Wilson's here? Like, why? You just saw him play in Pittsburgh. What did he do in Pittsburgh to say, you know what, let's bring Russ in, you know,
behind
let's get him here.
Behind a better offensive line.
I don't get the Russell Wilson part. I would have understood more the Russell Wilson part if you signed Russell Wilson, but then your plans was to draft a quarterback. Then it's the Kurt Warner, Eli Manning situation. Understand it. I don't get Wilson and Winston. I don't, because if you're asking me who, like, come on, you're a Giant fan, who should they start, Wilson or Winston?
Winston.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I don't need Russell Wilson. Even with the Steelers, I didn't understand Russ playing. I thought Justin Fields should have been playing. But the Steelers were doing well, and it clearly was working, so that's fine. But the Steeler team is in a much different situation than this Giant team. Maybe we got to get Danny on here, but I think I let Winston go out there and just let it rip, bro. And he's a more Josh Allen type, right? He's got the big arm. He's a bigger dude. Let go out there and just throw it. Malik Nabers have over 2,000 yards, 13 touchdowns. Like, fucking go nuts this year, guys. And then we're 5-12. We're 4-13. We get a top 10 pick, and we get our quarterback of the future. And we keep Jameis. Right? You keep Jameis for the next season because Jameis is going to play again. And then the new kid will figure it out. We'll figure it out. Yeah. Like, but in that situation, then I wouldn't get rid of Shane. I wouldn't even really get rid of Daboll in that situation because I think there should be an understanding of what we're playing for here. Like, the Giants being successful next year would be bad. It would be so bad. You want to be shit. You want to compete. But be shit. You want a top 10 pick. Whatever is going to get you a top 10 pick. Because you don't have your quarterback of the future. And you're going to use the draft to get your quarterback of the future next year. You know? So, we'll see how it rolls out. When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. AirCare Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact AirCare Technicians for a free quote. They offer same-day and emergency services for all your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1547. AirCare Technicians, 914-315-1547. The NCAA tournament's still going on, but unfortunately, St. John's Red Storm was bounced out. They lost last weekend against Arkansas in the second round of the NCAA tournament. They were the lowest seed to fall so far. Much scrutiny was thrown Rick Pitino's way as he decided to sit Big East Player of the Year RJ Lewis the final 5 minutes of the game. So Z, do you have a gripe with Rick Pitino did in the last 5 minutes of his second round matchup against Arkansas?
3 of 17, 0 for 3 from 3. 7 rebounds, 9 points. Sit your fucking ass down. You're not helping. You're not helping. You're not hurting. You're not playing defense. Sit the fuck on the bench and watch. Because I got players here who actually want to play.
Yeah.
So yeah. Sit the fuck down. Yeah, I get Kendari Richmond fouled out.
Yeah.
Scott was also
1 for 10.
Scott was terrible. Kadari Richmond was terrible. Geoffrey was terrible. But the team had an off night. And you have said a million times, right? How many times do you have to say it to where blue in the face? St. John's cannot have an off night shooting. Yeah. We saw it with Creighton. We saw it in the Big East tournament. You see it, right? They got to be on. And if you're not on, your ass better be playing defense.
Yeah.
Because Rick Pitino don't fuck around.
No. Skip is not. Defend the three. Make the three. You know, his defensive philosophy is.
This is not Mike Woodson. Spot on. This is not Chris Mullin. This is not Steve Lavin. This is Rick fucking Pitino.
No, I know. It's you know, Z, it's just tough. So, I mean, I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of people about this, you know, obviously all week. I think the tough part was you had Kadari in foul trouble and then RJ not making baskets, really not involved in the game. If you watch the game, you saw he just didn't seem like mentally he was there. Like, he wasn't boxing out for rebounds. He was playing shoddy defense. And he couldn't hit a fucking thing. Like, he couldn't
hit water.
You can tell, like, you could tell offensively they weren't in sync. And it really was his moment to shine. It's like, okay, you know, Kadari and Lewis are the best two players on this team. Aaron Scott chips in, and Devin Smith helps out, right? That's really what this team is. So on a day when Kadari is in foul trouble, which hadn't happened all year, hadn't had foul trouble all season, first time all year, they were in foul trouble. It was Lewis's time to shine, and he didn't. I get Pitino's frustration. I 100% do, right? The only problem I have is they were down 8 at that point with 8 minutes to go. Kadari's gone. You got Lewis on the bench. Where the fuck are the points supposed to come from? Are you expecting Zuby to do all this? Like, what's the plan, Rick? Like, how are we going to get back into this game when arguably our best player is sitting next to you and our second best player is in foul trouble or out of the game? I think, you know, there's an old philosophy. I think everybody's heard it. It's like you live and die with your best player at some point. If we're going to go down, let's go down with you shooting. If we're going to go down, let's go down with you making mental errors. Like, I have a problem with them going down without their best player on the court. That, to me, is tough. Because also, Wilcher was in foul trouble. Everybody had a problem, you know.
Well, Arkansas is a problem because they play big, they play physical.
And they had foul trouble too. Yeah. They had foul trouble too. And let's be real, both teams shot like shit.
Dude, okay? they were both
I think the three, they were 4 for 41 from three. Okay. Nobody was fucking hitting shots. Nobody was hitting threes. But I think, I'm not a coach, never been a coach, not interested in being a coach, right? I think at some point in the game, you got to go over to RJ and it's either Masiello or Talik Brown or maybe even Vatino. It's like, hey, man, you're not shooting well. You got to find another way to get involved in this game. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's playing better defense. Maybe it's passing the ball a little bit more. Maybe it's setting up your teammates. Maybe it's just playing inspired basketball. But if you keep going out there and playing like dog shit, I have to take you out. And maybe that conversation happened at halftime. Maybe that conversation happened at the 15 or 10 minute mark. We'll never know.
Yeah.
But I have a problem going down the way you did without your best player on the court. And RJ hasn't entered the transfer portal, and I hope he does it. I hope he comes back. I want him on the team next year. But let's say this was Kadarius. Let's say this was, Lewis. Lewis hasn't hit the portal, and Lewis, is planning on coming back next year, and I hope he does. But let's say this was Lewis's last game.
Yeah.
That I'd have a problem with. Like, that was your last game in a St. John's uniform, where the last 5 minutes you're sitting next to Skip. Like, and the other part is, were you just around for that John Starks playoff game? You remember how awful it was and how tough it was to watch? Maybe it was that. I don't know. Like, I think we were reminiscing before this call about our last game in a baseball uniform. It's, for me, for Kadari, I feel for Kadari. I really do. Because you fouled out. I think he had 6 points in 19 minutes. That's your last college game. You will never play college basketball again. Likely might be your last high-level game you ever played. He might have a career overseas, but he never developed his jump shot in St. John's. His basketball career is likely over. And then you move over to Aaron Scott. Same thing, man. It's like you were 1 for 10 in your last college game. You are definitely not playing overseas, and you definitely don't have any future. Like, that's just really, really tough to swallow. So for Lewis, again, he has a tomorrow. Hopefully it's in the St. John's uniform. I just think you're not taking MJ out. You're not taking Steph Curry out. This is your best player in the second round against a tough Arkansas team. We can't have you on the bench for the last 5 minutes.
I'm glad you mentioned MJ and Curry. They have something that this kid seemingly doesn't have, and that's an indomitable will. We're going to talk about LeBron James, right? You think that JJ is going to take LeBron? Fuck you, JJ. I'm going back out there. And if you think that you're going to take me out, you're going to have to drag me off the fucking court. Right? MJ. It's like, fuck you, Phil. I'm going out there. And if you think that you're sitting me, you're going to have to drag me off the fucking court. This kid let Rick Pitino do it, right? He could have been, fuck you, Skip. I want the ball. We want guys like that.
I don't know if you could do that in college, though. I don't know if that flies in college.
But that's the attitude you want, right? Not me. Fuck you. Not me. Like, not today. Like, you want it. You don't want the kid who sits there and hangs their head. You don't want the kid who mentally checks out. You're engaged, right? As a coach of women's basketball, as a coach of softball, like, I want the kid who's pissed off, who's itching to get back out there. If you don't see that from the kid, if you don't see the fire in their eyes, then that's the move. Like, you know, if he's not there, you're only going to hurt yourself more. So, and having done that, right, I had to bench my two best players in the playoffs. Shots weren't falling. They weren't passing. They were sniping at their teammates. You have to make that tough call sometimes. You live by it. You die by it. You learn from it. And that's what makes a good coach. And that's what makes a good player. Right? It's easy to say, oh, he benched his best player. But if his best player is playing like the worst player, what do you want him to do? Like, you have to try something.
Hey, you've actually done it. You're a person that's done it, so you kind of get it, more than I do.
And I got ripped by my players. I got ripped by my players, and you know what? It's It happens. Like, that's the thing. Like, thankfully, nobody's betting on tier three girls basketball. Like, you know, that's the other thing, you know? I'm sure they're getting it from that end, too. It's like, you know, no, people are betting on this shit, too. But, you know, it's a tough decision. And, you know, I'm not going to doubt Rick Pitino because he's been there. He's done that. You know, I'm not going to doubt Steve Masiello. He did it with Manhattan. Like, I've seen what he can do. So, like, yes, you want your best player out there. But would this kid have improved so much on the 28% field goal percentage? Would he have improved so much on the 9.1 from three? I can't say so. I can't.
Yeah, we'll never know.
We'll never know. But you know what? In the moment, it's easy to second guess from the sidelines, right? It's easy to second guess from the cheap seats.
Yes,
It's very. 100%. We're making a show. We're making a show at it.
Well, granted, and like I said, we don't know what conversations are had. And like I said, we don't know if he wasn't running the offensive plays.
Right.
You know, and we don't know if he wasn't being aggressive. We don't know where he was supposed to be. We don't know if he wasn't supposed to be taking shot or we don't know. It's just for the skeptic and for the optics, it's just tough to watch.
Yeah, it's tough to swallow.
Especially a two seed that had so much promise and was looking so good and really hadn't lost in like 2 months. To get bounced out by a 10 seed Arkansas team, it was really just tough to watch. But, you know, Arkansas was a 10 seed, and they were the highest seed to make it out of the first weekend. However, they got clipped 2 days ago. There are no Cinderella stories this year. Michael Wilbon said there were going to be upsets all over the place. Negative, Mr. Wilbon. So are you surprised with the chalk so far?
And there will be fewer upsets next year, too, because I have three magic letters for you. N-I-L. McNeese State ain't coming back next year. Their best players are most likely gone. Drake's best players are not coming back next year. They are most likely gone. Why? Because Florida can pay them more. St. John's can pay them more. Notre Dame can pay them more. Michigan can pay them more. You take your friggin' pick. The deepest pockets are going to rule the roost. From here on in, we're lauding Arkansas, right? As this, you know, lovable David. Motherfuckers in the SEC and John Calipari is their coach. They're not a David. They're a Goliath masquerading as a fucking David. I'm sorry. When did David get a sweet deal with Buffalo Wild Wings? No. No. I'm actually really sick of the coverage with the NCAA, because why is the team manager for McNeese State a thing? Like, why was that trending? Because the dipshit was walking around with a boombox? Like, I'm confused by all of that.
Oh, man. He got a whole bunch of NIL deals.
Yeah.
And he's transferring out.
What the fuck? What the actual fuck is going on here? There's Pandora's
box. Good for him.
It's insane. It's absolutely ridiculous. But it really underscores my point, is that team managers are now getting into the NIL shit. So it's going to be very top heavy for the foreseeable future until these, you know, we don't use the term anymore, but the mid-major schools are back. Until they can compete financially, they're not going to be able to compete on the court. And we need the Billy Bean of basketball to come in here and figure some shit out. Because until that occurs, we're going to see chalk across the board.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you. I think, you know, it's all going to come down to how you spend your money, right? The rich schools are going to be competitive and the other schools are just not. They're not going to be able to play at a high level for multiple weekends. And also, you know, college basketball, especially in the NCAA tournament, really comes down to coaching, right? Mm. It's like your players are able to execute as far as you allow them to. We talked about in the last segment with Rick Pitino, John Calipari, another good coach. But you know, you need a veteran coach to get you through weekends. You need a veteran coach to get you through rounds. You need a veteran coach to get you through March. And then when you have a veteran coach linked up with players he picked or some of the best players in the country, that's going to be results, right? The only thing that I would say is I think you still will have Cinderella teams, because you're going to get into situations where a school like Florida Gulf Coast or, you know, Cleveland, Ohio, where they build a program where their players have continuity. And what I mean by that is that they get guys that come in as a freshman and get through all the way to senior year. So you're developing a core team. And this is something Marquette has been doing. I don't know if you know this, but Marquette has not utilized a transfer portal at all when it comes to basketball. All of the players on their team are players that came there, signed there, and are there. They do not utilize the draft portal. So a team like that will, but this is Marquette, all right? Right. So we think of Marquette as a big-time program. So we're not surprised if they make it to the Final Four or the Elite Eight or things like that. But in that retrospect, you can get a team that just has guys that have been playing together for such a long time, and they don't get poked or they don't get poached, and they wind up staying there. And like, if you have a team that has seven seniors on it playing against a Duke team that's got maybe a Cooper Flagg type player and mostly freshmen, your older guys might be able to take that team for one day and one day only. So I don't think it's the absolute end, but I do think it's going to be, you're going to see it less and less because, again, the players that you are, that are there on nil deals, right, they've got something to play for. There's definitely much, and whether they're wanting to stay or wanting them, they want to go to the draft, or whether they're planning to go to, you know, transfer portal the next year, you're definitely going to be getting their best every single day.
100%. We can't really discount the veteran.
I do aspect. Think it'll be less likely. It'll be less likely. It definitely, you're not going to see 15s and 16s. I think 10s and 11s. Yeah. But not every year like we've seen in the past.
They're also
right?
going to poach coaches. I mean, think about it. Sean Miller's already gone. He's gone from Xavier to Texas. I'm sure Shaka Smart is going to get his they're probably going to blow up his phone again.
Well, he's from there, so I don't think Shaka is going to leave, and I do believe he believes in what he's developing at Marquette in regards to not using a transfer portal.
I mean, he already chased them when he went to Texas. He went from VCU to Texas. He already did it.
No, he did. He did. And I was actually surprised Sean Miller left, because Xavier's a big-time program. Yeah. They had good players on their team. They were competing at a high level. Sean's going to Texas for the money.
Completely.
Because that's all that's there. Yeah. I mean, you'll get the best players in Texas. But
I mean, Sean and I have done this move before. Both Miller brothers have done this. So,
but Sean had a good thing going. I was really surprised. Yeah. Really surprised he left. But hey, that's what he's got to do. That's what he's got to do.
Follow the money.
For all you grill masters, green thumbers, DIY aficionados, and home repair heroes in the Richmond, Virginia area, if you're looking for personal service quality products and a convenient shopping experience, then look no farther than Thacker Ace Hardware in Colonial Heights. Owner Don Rackley and his team of local experts have everything you need to tackle every project around the house. I'm talking Benjamin Moore paint, Milwaukee and Craftsman power tools, plumbing, electric, hardware, the works. For you green thumbers, their nursery department is top notch, and I wouldn't be me if I didn't mention the grills. They have Weber, Blackstone, Big Green Egg, Traeger. I want one of everything. Give them a call today at 804-766-4223 and see how they can assist you. Or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. That's Thacker Ace Hardware, 804-766-4223. Or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. Thacker Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
Just wrapping up our segments, the Stephen A. and LeBron James drama goes on. It goes on, and it's gaining steam. I thought this was over. We talked about it last week, and that was the second week. It's hitting his third week now. Stephen A. went on SportsCenter yesterday and called LeBron James a liar. unprofessional, and a backstabber. Holy shit. On national television. LeBron James said on the Pat McAfee show that he had no problem with Stephen A. Smith and his comments, and as relating to basketball, and Stephen A. Smith said, that's a lie. You're a liar. Just like that. No joke. He said it just like that. LeBron James is a liar. He then went on to rant about LeBron James being petty and butthurt over Stephen A.'s comments. I mean, Z, this is just getting embarrassing at this point for ESPN, Stephen A., LeBron James, and the Lakers, isn't it?
I'm waiting for the next one, right? Who's going to come out and say it's either Stephen A. or LeBron? One of them's going to call him a bitch. So you're saying I'm a bitch. So you're saying I'm a bitch. So this is what
you're
we need.
Anthony Rendon.
This is what we need. I'm making a public plea to Dave Portnoy. I need you to get rough and rowdy going. Stephen A. versus LeBron with Anthony Rendon as special referee.
If somebody called you a liar on national television and you saw that person in public, would you not just punch them in the face?
I'm going to fight you.
Next time I see you, that's the bell. Ding, ding, motherfucker. Like, you can't call a grown man a liar. That's like open hand slapping a grown man.
He already called him a bad father.
You can't call him a liar and a backstabber and unprofessional. Like, this is ESPN's highest paid anchor, right? Or highest paid commentator, whatever you want to call analyst. Highest paid analyst.
They have fired divisions for this guy.
Calling arguably the best player over the last 20 years in the NBA a liar on television. Is this like Vince Russo shit? Like, is this the WWE? Like, what's going to happen the next time they see each other?
Bronny's going to turn on LeBron and hit him with a steel chair, and he's going to side with Stephen A. and call him his real daddy.
Chokeslam! Bye-bye. He kicked out!
Stone Cold!
Like, I just, when I was watching, like, Stephen A.'s segment, I couldn't believe what I was hearing, and I felt embarrassed more for LeBron James, because why are we here? Like, why are we here? Why is Stephen A. Smith, an analyst, talking about you in this way? It should have never gotten to this point. Yeah. Like, one of you talk of each, I mean, Stephen A. is saying that LeBron is unprofessional. I think one of you has to be the more professional person and just walk away from this. This is not worth the time, the embarrassment, and the shenanigans that are taking place.
Yeah.
Like, if you just fight him and get it over with, you know? Fight him. And you're like, this is actually where we've gotten to right now. You went and called this man a liar. You called him a bad father. You called him unprofessional. And now it's to the point where we're going to fight.
Let's do it.
We're just going to fight.
All right.
And after this fight's over, one of us just has to shut the fuck up about it.
So my question to you is this. Could this, let's make some money, right? Let's talk about making some money. I jokingly was talking about Dave Portnoy and Rough and Rowdy, but I don't even think they need that because they have ESPN behind them. LeBron versus Stephen A. could main event a pay-per-view, right? They don't even need the Paul brothers. But could you imagine if they got together with ESPN and the Paul brothers and had Paul versus Paul as the undercard for Stephen A. versus LeBron? Because this is where it's got to go, man.
I don't think it's going to be much of a fight, though. I mean, Stephen A. is under 200 and he's 6'2", I heard. And then LeBron James is 6'7", 260, 250.
That doesn't mean he can fight, though. Just because he's big doesn't mean he can fight.
I mean, is this like a hardcore match? I mean, I don't know. Like, and Stephen A. called him the liar. So obviously there's more anger on LeBron's side, I would think, at this point. I don't see what Stephen A. could just be irritated by that. I think the way everything's played out, and you put yourself in both people's shoes, I think Stephen A. has a right to be irritated by how LeBron came up to him courtside.
Yeah.
And then how he went on TV and lied about something. But I would assume that LeBron has to be really angry, right? Because he's the one that approached Stephen A. courtside. And Stephen A. accuses him of orchestrating this too,
yeah.
by the way.
Yeah.
And then now Stephen A. has gone on national television and called me a liar and a bad father. So now I've had it up to here with Stephen A., right?
Yeah.
Like, that's just me. Like, me, my anger level is through the roof. You are attacking me professionally, personally, and now I'm going to fuck you up. And that's it. And you can sue me, and, you know, we'll take it from there. But the next time I see you, that's the bell. Ding, ding.
Now, as a businessman, right? As two businessmen, because they are brands. These guys are brands. These two guys would be best suited. And I don't even know who would mediate. I couldn't even tell you who would get in there and squash this, right? Because it's all very public right now. If they wanted to, right, they could meet in secret. Fucking Magic Johnson. Like, let's just throw a name out there. Okay. Like, Magic Johnson mediates this thing. They squash the beef. Now let's work some people and make some money.
Oh, yeah.
Let's work the boys and let's make some money.
Maybe that's what's going on. And maybe that's what's happening, right? Maybe that's really what's happening.
Everything's wrestling, bro.
About LeBron was just saying, like, you know, he says one thing but does another. He's a big orchestrator, and he was saying how, oh, I know how you work and I know everything about you, and it's just like, whoa,
this is getting very weird.
Whoa, man.
Bruh.
Maybe you're right. I mean, LeBron could have easily been done behind closed doors.
100%.
And it was LeBron who brought this front and center, courtside, during a timeout at a fucking Laker game.
Yeah.
Like, you could have easily said, Rich, you told your agent, Rich, can you do me a favor? Can you tell Stephen A. I need to talk to him and bring him into the locker room, or bring him to one of the backstage areas after the game? Just want to chat with him real quick. And this could have been done, right?
Yeah.
You could have sat there after that game and talked for an hour or two about Bronny, about yourself, about everything, and got it all out behind closed doors. And the next day, Stephen A. would have went on TV and kind of cleared the air,
right,
in what he was saying and what he meant. And LeBron could have never even said anything or did anything. And it would all went away. But no. This is all fucking WWE Attitude Era drama right now.
Love it.
Like, wow. Yeah, I'm sure the NBA loves
the
attention.
We're only 3 weeks away from WrestleMania. So I'm just throwing it out there. And it's in Vegas. Like, come on now. Let's get after it a little bit.
Done.
Over. Like, forget the John Cena heel turn. Forget The Rock. Give me LeBron versus Stephen A. Smith headlining WrestleMania Night 1. Move CM Punk, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns to Night 2. And just have at it. But it's completely, I mean, if this is real, and we are, you know, this is, we are assuming it is real because we're seeing it in front of our eyes, right? It's not like the Chris Rock, Will Smith thing where that was very real. And Chris Rock is still pissed about that. He's actually worked it into his material. He now has, he has a little, I think like a 10-minute bit on when he got smacked in the face by Will Smith. So, you know, don't give comedians ammunition. Like, that's the worst. That's comedians and writers. Don't give them ammunition because they will destroy you. But, you know, that's the part of it. It's just like, Stephen A is a cartoon character anyway. Part of me is like, this is a work. This is a fucking work. I'm sorry. Like, maybe I've just watched too much wrestling. But I'm like, this comes off as fake. It really does come off as fake. You've gone beyond the pale of credulity because you're a fucking clown.
Oh, right.
So, I don't know. I hope that it gets squashed one way or the other, because frankly, Stephen A. Smith is fucking annoying. But he made his money, he made his fortune on being fucking annoying. So maybe there's something, maybe there's something to be said for that. But, you know, The drama is the drama. The drama is what puts eyeballs, the drama makes money. Now, these guys are smart. Get in a room, squash it, and figure out how to make some money off this shit. For both of your sakes.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. You really care about what's under your hood.
Time to put some grades in. Welcome to the classroom. All right, boys and girls, take out a piece of paper and a pencil, have a seat. It's time to go into the classroom. We have two statements, and Dee and I are going to assign letter grades for them. Number one, Clay Holmes' first start for the New York Mets.
Oh, man. I mean, like I said, I was talking to a Met fan yesterday, and I was just like, man, if somebody told you last year that Clay Holmes is going to be your opening day starter, like, what would you have said to them? Like, fuck off. Like, you know, like, I just think it's wild. You know, I think the way he pitched is what you're going to see from him all year. I think he's going to have around a 4 ERA. He's going to be able to go for 4 or 5 innings. He'll probably average around a strikeout an inning. And that's what he's going to be. He's no better than a third or fourth starter. The Yankees used him as a reliever and a closer. He went to the Mets because they told him that they would let him start. But ultimately, I can't see him being better than that. So on a grading perspective, I'm giving him a C. But if you're thinking about what Clay Holmes is and what he's going to be all season, that's an A because that's who he is. But I'm going to say, from my standards, he's a C.
What he presented yesterday was an average major league starter. What for opening day, he was average. For a guy that has not started in 7 years, he was perfectly cromulent, right? It was 3 runs, 5 hits, only 2 earned runs. Walked 4. That's a problem. You cannot...
Oh, the walks.
The walks are a killer. Yeah. Struck out 4. Right? That's fine. He gave a perfectly fine performance. Average. Average is a C. We agree. It's a C. I'm teetering towards C minus just because of the walks. That being said, he's a 3. You're right. He's absolutely a 3, maybe a 4. That was the plan. But injuries have kind of taken that 3 or 4 and bumped him up to a 1, right? Senga's not ready yet. He's going to start this weekend. Manaya's out. Montas is out. Griffin Canning is starting today for the Mets. That's all you need to know. That's where the Mets rotation is right now. The number 6 or 7 guy is now in the number 3 spot. That's where they are right now. But better early than late. All in all, it's fine. But he was absolutely fine. He will get better. You figure, right? If he's perfectly solid for his first start in 7 years, you hope he gets better. Cardiac Clay cannot show up. If Cardiac Clay shows up, then the Mets are in for a world of fucking hurt. But having seen him in spring training, having seen him for opening day, the rest of the starting staff should be ashamed of themselves. That this dude hasn't started in 7 years and he can deliver a perfectly adequate performance. Starting pitchers around Major League Baseball should be embarrassed that this guy who hasn't started in 7 years can do just as well as they do. And they train to be starters, right? They've pitched for their career as a starter. This guy's like, eh, maybe I'll pick it up and see what happens. If not, I can always slot in behind Edwin Diaz. It's all good. Boom. 4 2/3, 3 runs, 5 hits. If he didn't walk all those guys, he probably would have gotten through 5 innings, which is that would be a quality start. So I'll take a C and hope for the best, because so far, so good. So far, so good. Number 2, the Patriots signing Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, this guy's coming off of an ACL tear. I hate to say this about the guy. The guy doesn't win. He didn't win in Minnesota. He didn't win in Buffalo.
He'll get better once he leaves.
He didn't win in Houston. So what are we really looking for out of Stephon Diggs? You know, I guess they needed somebody on that receiving core, but he's a complainer. So based on what's out there, I give him a C. I mean, I think his best days are behind him. He's not going to be leading the league in yards, receptions, or touchdowns. He's really just a guy. He's just a name at this point. And I don't know. I don't even know how well he's going to get along with Vrabel, because Vrabel's a no-nonsense guy. Mm. So, I give it a C.
Well, Patriots signing Stephon Diggs. Who are we grading this for? Are we grading this from the Stephon Diggs perspective, or are we grading this from the Patriots perspective? So let's look at it from two different ways, right? From the Patriots perspective, you can't expect much from him, right? Because he's coming back from that injury. You have Kendrick Bourne. You have Kayshon Boutte. You brought in Mac Hollins. Like, those are presumably your top three. If you can get anything from Stephon Diggs, it's a bonus. What you hope for is that he can be the professional in the room. Now, what we know about Stephon Diggs is that professionalism isn't always, you know, on point. He's a diva. He's a complainer. He's a wide receiver. It's what he is. You know, like, he's the diva wide receiver. Can he suck it up and be professional? If he's not, he ain't going to be there long. You're right. You're redefining the Patriot way. The Patriot way was you either fall in or you get out. And Mike Vrabel is an extension of that, as Gerard Mayo was supposed to be. Like, I don't know. Like, Gerard Mayo played for years under Bill Belichick, and it didn't seem that that was the case. Mike Vrabel is that guy. Mike Vrabel said he would castrate himself if that means he got the Lombardi trophy. Like, this is the kind of guy you're dealing with. This is Mike Vrabel. So you better match that intensity or you will not be around very long. Pop Douglas will take your job. Actually, Pop Douglas probably will take your job, because that kid's pretty decent. So from a Patriots perspective, you give it a C. Hope for the best, expect the worst. From a Stephon Diggs perspective, it's a D. Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here. Like, I'm trying to, like, what am I trying to do here? I'm trying to be a number one receiver here?
He's just getting a job, Z, because I don't think anybody else is going to hire him.
You're telling me that his brother couldn't pull some strings with Jerry Jones?
What's he going to do in Dallas? What's he going to do there, man?
You know what?
He can't play for them.
Take some pressure off CeeDee Lamb. That's about it. That's what he is, right, at this point in time. He's a safety valve.
But yikes.
So, like, that's all he could be. But the fact that he couldn't get a job in Dallas, very interesting. But yeah, from the Stephon Diggs perspective, it's like it feels like he's just hanging on. And this dude, it wasn't the case. Like, he was a difference maker, or he was perceived to be a difference maker. This isn't a difference maker move. This isn't like, yeah, we got Stephon Diggs, we got Drake May, this is going to be, yeah, it's going to be fucking awesome. No. It's like, you got Stephon Diggs? Okay. All right. Mac Hollins is still my number one. I have the two tight end set with Henry and Hooper. I'm excited about that. We got Antonio Gibson and Ramondre Stevenson. Yay. The Patriots seem to be building something, though. I just don't know. If they can get anything from Stephon Diggs, that'd be great. But I don't know. I'm having difficulty seeing it from the Stephon Diggs perspective. So a C for the Patriots, a D for the player himself. That's what we got. If you have any topics that you want us to grade, hit us up. FadeRouteMail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG at FadeRoutePodcast. Drop us a line on X at FadeRouteDNZ and let us know what you want us to grade. But for now, class dismissed.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ, on our Instagram account at FadeRoutePodcast, and on our Spotify page, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout-out on this here show and takes home the coveted, absolutely coveted, ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
Working on it. Give me one second.
Ah!
Scrolling, scrolling, scrolling. This is the problem with a Saturday page. This is the problem with a Saturday show. Is that it's all the way back here in the memory banks. Aha, the Philadelphia 76ers. Yeah. Narrowly beating out the Dallas Mavericks in terms of falling apart. So, Embiid, George, vaya con Dios. Change your name to the 86ers because you are out.
The 86ers.
That was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week? D.
All right, first off, I have Stephen A. Smith, ESPN analyst, probably their highest paid analyst, in a very public kind of rant and controversy with LeBron James right now. Went on national television and called LeBron James a liar and a backstabber.
This bitch.
And accused him of orchestrating this whole thing. And it's being petty just because Stephen A. doesn't view LeBron as the best player ever. And it just needs to end. You have the number one analyst of ESPN ridiculing and demeaning and degrading and talking bad about one of the best basketball players ever publicly. It just needs to stop. It's a bad look. Stephen A. Smith, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And number two, LeBron James. LeBron James for keeping this going by going on the Pat McAfee show and talking about the spat with Stephen A. and talking about the issues you have with him and the comments you made about him. You're just adding to the process. Either fight him or just stop talking about him. I do not want to talk about this on the show next week. Please, just put this to bed. Whatever you got to do, please, just stop. LeBron James, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And last but not least, I'm going to go with the Memphis Grizzlies for firing head coach Taylor Jenkins. I mean, this guy has had this team winning without Ja Morant for most of the last 3 years. And now you're in position where you're going to make the playoffs. You're going to be a 4 or 5. A lot of people have picked the Grizzlies to face against Oklahoma City Thunder in the Western Conference Finals, and you fire him?
You fire the guy that's been winning without his best player for most of the time? And we're the playoffs are the second season, or the playoff as the NBA likes to call it, is only about 3 months away. Like, what are we doing?
It is the second season.
Why are we doing this now? Why didn't you do this in the beginning of the year or closer to Christmas? I just don't get it. Memphis Grizzlies, you are my legend superstars of the week. What do you got, Z?
Great choices. You really can't go wrong with that. I'm confused by the Memphis Grizzlies situation. It's not like it's the...
What the fuck are you doing?
It's not like it's the Flyers who fired Torts. Did you see that? The Flyers are in the tank, dude. Like, the Flyers...
I saw that.
I mean, John Tortorella, as they said, he's a complicated man.
But, he is, but they just... The last few weeks have just been tough. I mean, they're just not winning.
No.
I think they've lost 11 of their last 12. They're missing the playoffs again.
Yeah.
I'm actually trying to go to that Ranger game. They're playing the Rangers in about 2 weeks.
And naturally, everybody's saying fire Laviolette, rehire John Tortorella. This group with John Tortorella?
Who hired this crew?
No way. JT Miller, yeah. Kreider, okay. Zibanejad ain't surviving it with John Tortorella. No, this is called defense, motherfucker. You have to fucking play it. Keandre Miller, block some fucking shots. This is Dan Girardi. He can barely walk. Start talking to him. Right? This is Ryan Callahan. This is our captain. This dude should still be playing. And he's a commentator because I ran his ass into the ground. This is the level I expect from you guys. Let's go fucking Ranger. Let's go.
All right, bring it up.
Ranger's on three. 1, 2, 3. No, but...
Family. Family on three.
But, you know, be careful what you wish for, guys. Be careful what you... The young players, if they don't get it, if they don't give him what he wants, fuck it. They're going to be in Hartford. Like, Will Cooley, you forget you even saw him. Matt Rempe, you'll get 30 minutes a night. Like, shit. Let's go. He's big. He's physical. He gives us what we want. He plays with an edge. Be careful what you wish for, folks. I'm going to start with the U.S. men's national team for their terrible, horrible, no good, very bad weekend last weekend. You lost 1-0 to Panama, and they knocked you out. And then you lose
Panama.
To fucking Canada.
Panama.
You lose to...
You can't beat Canada in anything anymore.
Well, Canada, I mean, they have Jesse Marsh, who's coaching the team. Like, he knows... Like, they have legit talent on Canada, right? They have Alphonso Davies. Poor Alphonso Davies tore his ACL in that game. So Bayern Munich is suing the nation of Canada, potentially. So that's very interesting, because we're playing in a meaningless game. You played my best player in the meaningless game, and now he's hurt. Thanks. So good job there, Canada. But the lack of form, the lack of passion, the lack of desire, the lack of grit, right? We talked about the grit. This is the golden generation. This is the skilled generation, the Pulisics, and the Gio Reynas, and the Timothy Weahs, the Yunus Musas. These are the guys, right, who are going to take you to the Matt Turners. They're going to take you to the next level, and we might actually advance in the World Cup that we're hosting in 2026. Bullshit. I'm calling it right now. Bullshit. They are not going anywhere with this squad. This is not the golden generation. This is the aluminum generation. They're soft and they're shiny. They can do the really fancy shit, but they can't do the basic stuff. And the basic stuff, executed properly, is what makes you win. Until you get that through your thick fucking skulls, it doesn't matter if it's Pochettino, it doesn't matter if it's the ghost of Pele, it doesn't matter who is coaching this team. Klinsmann couldn't do it. Berhalter couldn't do it. Pep Guardiola probably can't do it. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. They are soft as Charmin. U.S. men's national team, grow a fucking set. You are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, St. John's. Rough week. Rough weekend. You were the 2 seed. You lost to the 10 seed. A highly anticipated matchup. Couldn't shoot. Didn't defend. Couldn't rebound. Tough night. Tough night. Lowest seed, out. But it capped a hell of a season. It was a promising season. Expectations rose as it went on. You had us dreaming. You had us all dreaming. but was not to be. Let's see what happens. Let's see how Coach gets in the lab and figures shit out. St. John's, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, the Los Angeles Angels. Opening day, right? Everybody's 0-0. You have a chance to start anew. It's a fresh start for everybody. Well, you lost 8-1 to the worst fucking team in Major League history, who set a record for most losses, and you had to use a position player on opening day to get out of the game. Usually Nicky Lopez doesn't pitch until August. I'm surprised he was ready to go. But kudos to you, I guess, for saving your bullpen. Los Angeles Angels, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account, at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll, at FadeRoutePodcast. Go to our Spotify page and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.